Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hello, as always, thank you for joining me today. I know this is a busy week for a lot of us and a difficult week for a lot of us. Today's guest is someone who's been on this journey for around 30 years, so he has a lot of experience at being a bereaver. And just like most of us, Tracy did not think he could get out of that place of darkness. In our conversation, we talk about getting past the anger, how his prayers and relationship with God was changed, and the conscious decision he made to learn how to live a life of meaning and purpose again after his 18-month-old daughter died in his arms. Let me give him a proper introduction. Tracy Brinkman is a father of four, a former military man, and the voice behind the Dark Horse Entrepreneur, AI Escape Plan, and Your Success DNA, two shows drawing over 300,000 monthly downloads. His life reads like a redemption arc: addiction, the loss of his 18-month-old daughter, divorce, and bankruptcy. Yet he rose from it all to lead corporate marketing teams and build a thriving digital brand. Today, Tracy helps parents and small business owners compress time and multiple income using AI, podcasting, and automation. He speaks with compassion, clarity, and conviction, living proof that no setback is final and no dream is too late. So let's listen in on my talk with Tracy Brinkman. Well, hello, Tracy. Thank you for joining me today. I have a feeling we're going to have a really good conversation here.
Well, I appreciate you having me aboard, and I hope what I'm able to share helps somebody.
Oh, yeah, I have a feeling it will. So let's start out by having you share your little girl, Krista, with us. Can you tell us about her and what happened?
Sure. Krista came into our world, about a month and a half earlier than expected. And I was working for Coca-Cola. I was in Atlanta, had just been transferred out there. And so my missus at the time was in Southern California with my first daughter. And literally the weekend that I was supposed to be flying back out, the company was being very nice and letting me transition homes. And there were, you know, I got the home out there. They're going to fly me back out to Southern California to work locally for a while until the baby was born, and then we could safely transport her out to Atlanta. And so literally it was just like Tuesday or Wednesday of the week I was supposed to be flying back that weekend. I get an emergency phone call from my mother-in-law saying that my missus was in the hospital in the ER. And what had happened was, you know, my missus was probably pushing herself a little too hard, you know, moving things around in the apartment, the whole nine yards. Next thing you know, she's getting great pains and what have you. So she calls 911 and they take her to the hospital there in Whittier, California. And during her time in the ER, as they admitted her, they lost a heartbeat for the baby. And so everyone, you know, rushes into action. They do an emergency cesarean, get the baby out. And Krista was born with a distended abdomen, which for anyone that is not medically savvy, you could picture the classic beer belly on a guy. Picture that on a newborn baby, and that's what Krista came out looking like. Now, what I found out had happened was one of the major arteries feeding her intestinal tract did not develop like it should have, and that starved the blood flow to her intestinal tract. So she was born with what, and don't get me wrong on the numbers here, it's been so long now, I think she was born with about 30 centimeters of large bowel. Of small bowel, excuse me.
Okay.
And normally when you're born, you got about 300. Mm. So Krista was born with not enough intestinal tract to sustain life. She couldn't, that's where we absorb all the nutrients via the food we ate. And over the course of the first 3 months of her life, she went through six major operations just to get her to the point where she could sustain life. And one of the operations that they did was install a TPN line, which is total parenteral nutrition, which basically feeds the base nutrients that we need as humans so directly into her bloodstream. The line went straight into her arterial valve there, or into their artery for her heart, right above the valve. Anyway, so, which is good, but the downside of that is the body being the amazing tool that it is, because she was taking TPN nutrition, she didn't have to filter anything. So the body said, oh, you don't need this liver. So now she needs a liver and a small bowel transplant. One of the other operations they tried was a very intricate way where they would separate the small bowel into two halves, and there's all kinds of arteries and everything. So it's not like they just cut it in half. There's this whole jigsaw effect, and then form two thinner tubes and then connect those end to end to give her twice as much as she had, and it still wasn't enough. So they finally get her stable where she can get on the organ donor list. So that's how Krista came in, and that was the start of her short time with us here. I'm not sure what more of that story you'd like, but I could keep going and telling you the rest, and we can go wherever you'd like.
Well, did she end up with a transplant? I mean, that's a teeny tiny thing.
Sadly, no, the story was not a happy ending. Krista made it home for a short period of time. She finally got out to Atlanta, which is where a number of these operations happened. And then when they finally got her on the organ donor list, they give you, well, back then they gave you, gave us a beeper, and we go through all the training of, okay, here's what you got to do. As soon as this beeper goes off, everything drops and you race to the hospital. And we lived about a half hour north of Atlanta at the time. So that was, and I had an IROC Z at the time. So the beeper went off one time for us, and we had all our bags already at the ready in the downstairs closet. And I grabbed and threw them in the car. And I think I broke some land speed records getting from our house to the
Yeah, I can
hospital.
imagine, yeah.
And then, it's exciting and not so exciting at the same time, because unfortunately, for the organs to become available for your child,
Right.
someone else's child has to leave. And
Yes.
how do you feel? Totally good about that. And we're waiting in the hospital, and it ends up being, I'm going to call it a false alarm, just for lack of a better phrase. Unfortunately, the young boy who was going to be the donor was abused, and his organs were not viable.
Okay.
So
Wow.
we go back home as obviously disappointed, but sad for multiple reasons because
Yes.
this young boy. But anyway, and the doctors, they called us in the next week, and they were telling us how really the best place for Krista to be for this operation was Pittsburgh, because that's where they had the Mac Daddy doctors for this particular combination. Sure, no problem. We started working with the McDonald's house and Coca-Cola, and we got mom and the baby up to Pittsburgh. She's living in a McDonald's house. The baby's pretty much in the hospital most of the time, and I'm flying up there every couple of weeks. And this would have been about the 14-month mark. So that goes on for about 4 months. And through a series of just awful events, one of which was not a nurse. I called them candy stripers. I don't know what they're called
Oh,
nowadays.
okay.
I know there's a new term for them nowadays, but back when I was younger, they were called candy stripers. Dropped the baby,
Oh, my.
and she hits her head. She gets this large
Oh, my.
hematoma that about the size of a, not the size, but the shape of a banana going across the whole side of her head. And from that point on, her health really took a downturn because, her body is spending so much energy trying to fix this hematoma that it's not being able to keep her, the rest of her, what it was all going for before
Right.
in at level set. And one of the cool things about Krista and being her father was I could always make her laugh. And she always greeted the world with this beautiful blue-eyed smile that she had, knowing that she had to be pretty much on a constant level of uncomfortable going through all the things that she had. She had a, the TPN lines and a bag, gastro bag, and all this noise. And because when she pooped, it was very acidic. We had to coat her butt with, just lots of gook
Right.
to keep it from burning her skin. So I can't imagine all the levels of uncomfort. It didn't faze her. She was always happy, just, I would say, even happier than my other children as babies. So I always lean into that. And so making her smile was just one of the joys of my life, and making her laugh and giggle, it made me feel like, okay, I'm contributing to, something
Yes.
positive at least. And we flew up, I flew up there one weekend, and I went into her room, and she had taken a downturn during the course of the week, so she was being intubated. And so I go in there, and I thought, well, it's okay. I'm just going to be the cheerful dad. I'm going to make her smile. And everything I tried, I couldn't get her to smile. So this caused a level of concern that only a parent would understand. And I know your audience is, grieving parents. When there's something else wrong with your kid, whether they say anything or not, whether they're able to say anything. So I grabbed the doctor, and I was asking her, if the organs were available right now, do you think she would survive the operation? And I got a lot of hemming and hawing and doctor speak, and they just not wanting to commit it anything. And no joke, by the white coat, grabbed the collar, pulled her across the hallway into a janitor's closet. There, it's just us now. And re-asked the question. And a little less hemming and hawing, but the answer finally came out, no, I don't think so. Okay, not the answer I wanted, but certainly now I have a new baseline. So the next question becomes, do you think her health will elevate to the point where she could survive the operation? It's a pretty significant operation, though. Small
Right,
liver and small bowel. So it's,
yes.
you'd be open in a while. And a little more hemming and hawing, but no, she didn't believe that Krista's. With everything that that her little body was doing, she didn't feel like she was going to get any better. So now you're faced with the choice of, do you leave her on the machines, which at that moment in time were the things that were keeping her alive, or do you not? And a short piece of my backstory is, probably about 5 years prior to that, I went through a point in my life was just my dark point in life, where I had battled and overcome addiction. And it was my first daughter that I tell to this day, she was the thing that saved my life. Because at 3 months old, I had a significant event, and the police kicked open the door to my home. And that's how deep into the scene I had gotten. I wasn't there when it happened, and neither was she. But it was her, it was actually my daughter and my father in my head going family first, family first. And at that moment, I was realizing, crap, it's not just my life I'm impacting anymore. I have, this newborn baby. So I righted the ship of my life at that point in time with the help from some amazing parents and a brother from another mother. So all that to say is, I'm stepping forward into this new, darkness in my life. And I thought for a second, if I keep her here, I'm going to go back to selfish me. And that's what I called my drug addiction days, was my selfish period. And I can't do that again. And so it gave me the strength to, I'll call it the strength to make what I think is the toughest decision I've ever made. And, we decided to just turn the machines off. I wrapped her up in the blanket that grandma had crocheted for her. Sorry. And sat down in the rocking chair in her room, and I rocked her to sleep one last time. Blessing and a curse for obvious reasons, right? Obviously, the curse is easy for everyone to understand. And I call it a blessing because I got to do it in the moment. And I know there's so many different ways to lose a child, and I was lucky enough to rock her to sleep. And and tell her thank you and all the, you know, tell her all the amazing things she had taught me in her short, 18 months with us. And then, made some promises. And so that's Krista's story.
Now, how long ago was this?
This would have been the 90s, right about 93, 94.
Okay. It's just, I think sometimes it's comforting to parents who are just starting this journey to know that even though we may get over that initial suffocating darkness and the place it takes us, we'll never forget our child, and there will
Oh,
always be
no.
something there because, you were fighting tears. And, this still, kind of that blessing and cursing thing again, I mean, it's wonderful that we'll never forget our child, and it to know that it won't always be this dark. And yet on the other hand, there will always be tears. I mean, here and there.
Yeah. One of the things, and this, and I say it, I say this being the cliche male kind of person. I was, raised by a classic military man. He was in the military for 23 years, just an amazing father, and, his flaws. But, he taught me that male strength. Not that men don't cry, but men get their crap done. And so, obviously, when Kristen had passed away, there was a whole host of things that you have to take care of.
Yes.
And, I pushed down the feelings to take care of those things, right? And get everything organized and put together. And, everyone learned or alerted and,
Right.
noted. And, or anyway, once I pushed it down and once we were on the other side of all those events, I kept it down. And I would urge anyone listening to not do that. Push it down for when you have to, because you have to get stuff done. I totally get that. But once you get on the other side of the, okay, now I need to let myself feel, because it wasn't probably about, it may have been a year and a half or so. And I was watching a movie. The father of the movie was holding members of the hospital hostage in the ER room, along with his sick son. And about a little over halfway through the movie, the realization came to me that this father was going to kill himself in the ER room because his son needed organs that they wouldn't get anywhere else. And the moment that realization hit me, I just started bawling like a baby. I mean, like uncontrollably. And that's when it hit me that I had spent all that time holding it down and hadn't really let myself mourn, really, you know what I mean? So, so don't do that.
Yeah. And I know some parents will say, well, I have to because I have other kids I have to take care of and I have all these, work
And
and
you do, yeah.
responsibilities. And I think you feel like if you go there, you'll never come back out.
I had, like I mentioned, my oldest daughter at that point was 4.5 years old, 3.5, 4 years old, almost five. And so I totally feel you. And that was another one of the excuses I gave myself. But again, that moment when that movie just rocked me and just literally fell to my knees off the chair. I
And then you
realized
can't control when or where it happens.
Exactly. That was the realization. I was like, oh my God, if I'm over controlling it, then I'm actually losing control and not. And on top of that, what am I teaching my daughter? Because we all know they're always looking at us.
Right.
They're learning the lessons from us, even when we're not teaching them verbally. So, it was.
And she knew she had lost her little sister. I mean,
oh,
as
yeah,
young as she
she
was,
totally
I
understood
mean,
it.
her sister was there and then she wasn't.
Yeah. And she was old enough to understand it, as much as you can at,
right,
4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, to your point, she understood her sister was gone and she was up in heaven now. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Now, Tracy, if I understand you right, you went through a period where you were very angry at God.
I did. And it really hit me harder because during everything that was going on with Krista, I threw myself into a speaking And which basically I was going around telling everyone the benefits of being an organ donor. And I often joked that I would tell anyone who would listen, and quite often a few people that didn't want to listen. And one of the times after Krista had passed away, I continued to do this tour of speaking around the greater metropolis of Atlanta, and I got invited to a church. And so I can't, the pastor, preacher, whatever it is, invited me and heard my story from another fellow of his, and decided to bring me in to speak to his congregation. I came up there and spoke to them. And afterwards, and this is not me slighting anybody in their particular church, and which is the reason why I'm not naming the denomination, he said, "Your child is not going to heaven."
What?
Yeah, he gave this lame, and I don't want to cuss on your show, he gave this weak reason that my child was not going to go to heaven according to his beliefs because of the way things happened. And that just
Oh,
set
wow.
me off, you know. And I get it, we all have our different beliefs and there's different extremes, and if you want to take that out on me as an adult man, fine. Go right ahead. I can protect myself. But our children can't, right? And here's one that is now gone. And you're going to have the nerve to tell me that she's going to hang out in, whatever, purgatory forever because she was who she was. No, that's, and
Oh my
so,
goodness.
and I let that anger roll across because I was already upset. And like I said, I had been holding it down for quite some time. And it bled over into my feelings of the God I believe in. And it was really me being pissed off at myself for not, I don't, you always feel like you could do more, right? You know, if I had just been there the day that the nurse, or excuse me, as the that the candy striper fumbled, right? If I had been there, it would have never happened, and she wouldn't have taken the downslide, and she would have been around long enough for the organs to be around, and she would have been with us today. You know, you always tell yourself these things. But here's what I have learned as a result of forgiving those that need forgiveness, in my humble opinion, and then turning around and looking back into what I call my darker moments. Obviously, the death of a child is a very, very dark moment. Is that there's a lesson to be learned in every sorrowful, sad, even joyful moment you have in your life. And if you do not take the time to learn that lesson, God, Mother Nature, whoever it is you believe in, I believe is going to put that lesson in front of you again until you learn it. So, you know, I felt it behooves to me to go back and just, reflect back into my days of addiction, back into my party days, back into when I lost Krista, and realize I did everything I could. I did as much as I was able to, whether that meant physically, emotionally, mentally, or anything spiritually or anything else. I did what I felt was right at the time. In Krista's case, not the addiction time. Okay, don't get me wrong there. In Krista's case, and I was blessed with the ability to be there when everything went totally south, right? Mom couldn't do it. And she said, she goes, I can't do that. And I said, well, I'm not leaving her alone. I'm just not going to do that. And so that gave me a moment of grace to say, okay, when it was time, someone had to be there with her to hold her hand, to, make her feel safe until God took her. And that got to be me. And as painful as it is, it's also an honor, right? And so now, having looked back at that, I can say it with a moniker of pride. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think kind of coming in a circle here because, saying that, well, as a loving parent, we do everything we know to do with the information we have. We do the best
Yes.
that we can. And to look back, I mean, like, there could be some parents listening that think, well, I didn't have that blessing of being with my child. That was taken from me. I wasn't with Becca. She needed a heart transplant and didn't make it. And, I wasn't there when her heart gave out. I was on my way there. I just had, that feeling that something I needed to get there and I didn't get there in time. But it's still, I've got a friend that says we have to stop shooting on ourselves. I
Yes.
should have done this. I should have been there. I should have
Yes.
known this. I should have. I mean, and that just brings us so much turmoil. Now, you have said that you believe that anger can be part of our healing in our faith and our relationship with God. Can you talk about that a little bit and about your faith being rebuilt maybe in some unexpected ways?
Sure. I think one of the things about anger is everyone thinks it's bad. And yeah, the way it's presented a lot of time, especially on television, it's
Right.
really bad. But to have the feeling of anger is natural. Yeah, I was angry at the hospital for the way things went down. I was angry at the head of that particular church with the way he presented his feelings. I was angry that my daughter was gone. And holding on to that anger and letting it simmer and boil and fuel itself and just become this nuclear explosion waiting to happen, not good. And it was also impacting how I was interacting with those that were still with me that I loved, my spouse
It
at the
spills out,
time,
doesn't it?
my older daughter. It leaks out, right? And sometimes it leaks out and you don't even realize it. You get defensive, which is just more anger. And so I think you need to find a channel for it, one, and then have someone, anyone that you can talk to, whatever that means for your comfort level of talking. I was lucky enough to still have that brother from another mother who I met at the age of 16 and he was 14 and we were friends until he passed away a few years ago. And so I could call him on the phone day or night and we could talk about anything, right? And I mean that, anything. And so there was many a night where, him and I were on the phone late into the wee hours, and I was just venting and crying and sometimes screaming and yelling, and he would just let me. And then he would be either the angel on my shoulder when I needed that, or the little devil over here kicking me in the butt when I needed that. He was what I needed, whenever I needed it. Which again, I have to thank, my creator for, because otherwise I would have been a wreck. The result would have been completely different if I didn't have him as a tool in my emotional toolbox. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. And I think for some of us, it's like, well, I don't have anyone like that. Well, then I believe God's going to give you, it may not be a person, but I think God gives us what we need. He knows what each one of us needs. And
Agreed.
he's gonna be there for us, either through someone else or through nature, whatever, where we can just go out in the woods somewhere and scream and cry and beat a tree or whatever. God provides ways for us to release that anger. We just have to be willing to look for it and release it in a way that's not going to harm other people
Yeah, when
or
you're looking
ourselves.
for it, you got to look for it in the less obvious places, right? Because the obvious places, you're going to know they're there. Maybe it's a brother or a sister, a parent, a cousin, a good friend, or whatever. I mean, there are other channels, right? Obviously, if you believe in God, you may be a churchgoer, you may not be a churchgoer. Perhaps you say, well, I'm going to go to church just to give myself that level of, okay, I can kneel down here and I can actually pray and feel like he's listening. Okay. Here's another channel you could try. that is very non-denominational. So wherever you believe is grab yourself an empty notebook and just start writing what you feel. And because it is just between you and your creator, it doesn't matter what you write. You can write everything. You can write every curse word that you would never say out loud, and all the things you hate and all these awful things, just to get it out of you. You know, get the poison out, put it down on paper and go, oh, it's very cathartic. It really is. And you can go one step further. And I learned this way back in my martial arts days. One of the things of my iconic martial arts faves, Bruce Lee, when he was going through turmoil, and this is Mr. Calm, Mr., you know, just ice cold, and, you know, the feet underneath the water like the duck. When he would have these turmoils, he would journal as well. But when he was done dumping out, spewing that poison, like I said, he would tear out the page, crumple it up, and burn it. So that was his way of releasing and then just, you know, just totally getting rid of it. So it wasn't like he was going to go back and reread it and feel it all over again. So that's another thing I would coach, right? If you're going to spew all that vitriol, maybe you just need to find a way to let it burn.
Because if you go back to it, you can just pull it all back up again, and the whole point is
Yes.
to release it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So many of us thought that we knew who God was until we lost our child. How was that for you?
I think my opinions on God changed when I lost my child. And I won't say, obviously, I went through the anger point, which we talked about, but I don't think they have changed back to what they were previously. I'm going to be candid. I don't believe in God in the way that every single one of the religions out there believe. I do believe there's a creator. I do believe he's up there overlooking things. I do believe he's done some amazing, miraculous miracles. I do believe that most of the writings that weren't altered in our holiest of books, I believe in all those. What I don't believe is that I have to go to a house to sit down and pray to him, right? Which is what I used to believe. I believe that if I'm sitting in my car stuck in traffic and I have a prayer for someone, even if it's for myself, that I could utter it right there in the driver's seat, hand on the steering wheel, and I can be heard. So, yeah, in that perspective, that's where my things changed. And it put a good chunk of that is because of that experience with that one gentleman. And, you know, and I also have a family member that used to be a pastor and rubbed me raw a couple of times as a teenager, but that was more because I was on my I was heading down my wild path and he was trying to preach fire
Get a
and
little
brimstone to
preachy.
scare me. So you know, those two things. But yeah, I think
I
the
think it's
moment
like
I
turning
sat.
that corner from being a religion to actually finding out you can have a relationship with God, that you can
That's a
talk to him
that's a
anytime,
great point.
anywhere.
Yes. Yeah. And it started for me that I was talking to Krista first. Right? So that was my stepping stone back to from the anger back to God as the next level up. Because if I can take the time to speak to my daughter, who I believe was up in heaven, then I might as well go ahead and take a moment and divert my prayer to the, excuse me, to the power, to the man, whatever you want to call him, that is taking care of her, right? Because now I'm speaking father to father. Hey, you got to take
Oh,
care of my
that's
girl up there.
beautiful.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what it turned into. Again, I spent many an evening or many an afternoon talking to Krista and sharing words with her. And then it hit me, and I don't know what the actual impetus was, but it hit me, well, who's taking care of Krista now? Of course, I understand the concept of heaven and I knew she was okay, but there's an, you know, there's God up there that's taking care of all that. And that's when it came, okay, father to father here. I need you to hook me up. I need you to help me out and take care of this girl. I plan on being here for a long time because I have two other daughters now that need, well, three now, that need me. So it's not like I can just eject and come up there and take care of her. So you got to do this for me, you know? And it was, I don't want to sound hokey. It was like this like warm feeling came over me like, yeah, I got you.
Oh, I love that.
You know
that.
What I mean?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's almost like God said, yes, I'll do that for you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know, it was just like his presence just came down and said, yes, thank you for letting me be her father now for a while.
Exactly, 100%. And that also released a worry that, you know, as any parent, you would have, well, is my child okay?
Yes.
Well, yeah, if you don't believe that your child is in the hands of someone better attuned to taking care of her than you are, you're going to continue to worry like that.
Tracy, do you like the person you have become since Krista died?
Oh my gosh. That's a tough question. Yes. Now, yes. I've actually had people on, you know, it's one of the cliche questions you hear on podcast interviews or, you know, in social media. If you could go back to some point in your life and make change one thing, what would it be? And well, yeah, there's always the one thing we would always love to change. And I'd love Chris to still be here, but I wouldn't be who I am today if I hadn't gone through those pains, those hardships. As crucible as they were, they made me a better father. They made me a far better father for my first daughter, as well as the other two daughters that came behind that. Mm-hmm. They made me appreciate life a whole lot more. They made me appreciate the things I needed to learn. You don't know what you don't know sometimes.
Right.
And when it's put in front of you and you finally do know it, you're like, oh, caca, you know? So it comes from looking back and learning the lesson and taking that moment to.
I mean, it's
a journey.
Takes a while.
If you don't,
I mean,
if you don't own the journey, right? And I think it's, for me, one of the big things I think that's causing the erosion of some of our society is lack of ownership. You know, they're not owning their decisions.
Yes.
Some of the folks out there, right? They're just not owning the things they're doing or that they're not doing. And it taught me to own my caca, whatever it was, good stuff and the bad stuff, right?
Right. Let's turn the corner just a bit and talk about how a child's legacy can become a bridge back to hope and purpose, because that was the case for you, right?
It was because the experience I had overcoming addiction in my first daughter, being the blessing that she was, when Krista passed away, I knew how easy it would have been for me to fall back into that numbing addiction to rid myself of the pain. I didn't want to do that. I still had Tylea here to take care of and to be a better. Plus, I made promises to Krista. Okay?
Right.
What kind of dad would I be if I didn't honor my promise? So I threw myself into work and personal development. And this was about the time, well, I mentioned the years, so around that same time frame, you know, the iconic names of, you know, Jim Rohn, Zig Ziglar, and Tony Robbins were doing all those stadium-filling events. And I went to as many of them as I was able to. And whenever I could, I would, you know, do the lunch meet and greets and do the VIP. So I got to meet these folks and resonate with them even better. And, you know, it's one thing, just like the Bible, it's one thing to read it. It's another thing to read it and then act upon what you read.
Yes.
Personal development is the same thing. And I don't think there's anything I've learned in my personal development journey that's not in those holy books.
Mm-hmm.
It's just worded differently, okay?
Truth is truth,
modernized,
no matter the source.
You know, it's just a different source with the same message.
Right.
And so I started doing the things that were in those lessons, and my life just started to skyrocket in a very positive direction. From a financial standpoint, I had five promotions in 3 years at a corporation like Coca-Cola, which was unheard of. And this led to folks coming up to me saying, "How are you doing this?" And so I started sharing with them the things I had been learning from these other folks. And they're like, "Well, could you teach me?" So that started a coaching journey. And I think one of the greatest, for me, one of the greatest things I was ever able to do was to teach another person how to improve. I think one of the greatest things about life is you learn about something, you do that something, and then you can teach someone that something, right? It's learn, do, teach. And to learn it is one thing. To do it, you got to spend a little more time learning. But to teach it, you got to own it at a different level, right? I'm not saying you have to be an expert. I don't need to be an expert to teach you something that you are okay at, Laura. But I
You
need to
just
be
have to be
one or
one
two
step
steps
ahead of the person you're
ex
teaching.
exactly. And quite often, I can teach you better if I'm only a few steps ahead of you. If I'm way farther, I have to be super humble, which is a challenge in and of itself, right? I'm very proud, or I can be proud and humble at the same time. So it, there's, but a lot of folks can't own that I'm the expert. And because I was only, a handful of steps ahead of these folks, I was able to teach them, and it gave me so much in return that I wanted to learn more. And it became this self-fulfilling positive cycle that went on for quite a few years. It's still going on today, actually.
Well, this has been really good, Tracy. We've really talked a whole huge gamut of things here. It's been good. So, if listeners want to connect with you, now we haven't talked anything about what you're doing now. You do a lot with AI and teaching families or parents how to do AI. If you want to share that real quick.
I'm the host of two podcasts. One is Your Success DNA, which is all about the personal development thing I just shared real quickly. The other side is the Dark Horse Entrepreneur podcast, where we focus on helping parent entrepreneurs do their cubicle escape. And I use AI to compress time for them because they don't need another 9-to-5 job, but they do want to augment their revenue. So we try to teach them how to do that.
All right. So if anyone wants to connect with you, how would they do that?
The best place is to go over to darkhorseentrepreneur.com, and then you'll see all the socials across the top up there. And there's also a contact form. Feel free to reach out to me. I personally answer those. It's not AI.
All right, we'll put a link to that in the show notes too.
Awesome.
So, Tracy, before I let you go, do you have any last thoughts you want to share? Maybe what you would maybe say to another Pereaver that might be thinking, okay, Tracy, all that's great for you, but I don't ever see myself getting to a place like you are. I mean, what are some last thoughts you would want to share?
I was that. I was that same parent. When Krista passed away, right? I didn't, I was like, there's no way I'm ever getting over this. I even told my missus at the time, I don't want another child. I can't go through this again. And then I turned and looked into my older daughter's eyes, and there's a joy in having a child. We all know that, which is why it hurts so much when they're gone. I would lean into whatever brings you joy. And I know it's going to be hard to feel it for a while. And I will never tell you it's going to stop hurting because, like Laura mentioned earlier, when I was telling Chris's story, it still hurts. It just hurts different. I tell her story more with pride. And more with the hope that her story helps others realize it's not the end of the world. You can come out on the other side with a smile on your face about the experience. I mean, I could babble on about pain for days, and I don't want to, but you need to embrace the fact that you're hurting. Don't stuff it down. Otherwise, you may experience the movie moment I had. It may be worse. I know I told Robbie I was thankful that that movie moment didn't happen when I was driving home,
Right.
because I would have hurt somebody. I would have lost control of my vehicle, and I would have crashed into probably somebody and caused someone else's parent pain. So go ahead and, let it out in a controlled environment, of course. You just don't hurt yourself or anything like
Yeah,
that.
aren't there
Just
places now where they do like where you can go in a padded room and just smash a bunch of glass?
there is
I
I
mean,
saw
something
there
like that.
some of them are not even padded. They're destruction rooms. They're
Yeah.
like the escape rooms, but they're loaded with all kinds of stuff where you could just go in there and bash things up. So if you're in a major metropolitan area, I bet you they have one of those.
Probably. And it's like the things that, you know, what I try to remind or I guess encourage bereavers with is that the same things, the memories and the things that are just a stab to your heart now will become the very same things that will become that will warm your heart later.
Yeah, agreed. It took me a while. I had to focus on the purely joyful moments for a long, long time. And even those purely joyful moments, take her in the stroller out in the sunshine where, let her hit her skin where she didn't get to feel it very often. Initially, remembering those moments was very painful.
Yes.
But then it was just all about seeing her face and the smile. Here's how I looked at it. I went from feeling it from my standpoint to feeling it from her standpoint, right? I tried to take it out of my heart and put it into hers to look at it from, Dad loves me. He's taking me outside. You
Yes.
know, Dad loves me. He's playing with me. Dad loves me. He's letting me pet the kitty and yank on the tail or whatever the scenario is. If you can look at it from the joy that you were feeling or that you were helping them feel, then I think it flips the pain on its ear, even for a second. And then the next time, it does it for 5 seconds. And then it
Yes.
does it for a minute. And pretty soon, it'll do it for a day. And then it's a week. And like I said, it's 2025. It's almost 2026. And this happened to me in the mid-90s. And
Right.
there's still some pain there, but there are moments that I'll have to fast forward through a movie in certain scenes. It's like, no, and my current wife understands that. And it's okay. We all get it. We move through it and move on. It's not because because I'm hiding it. It's because I don't need to relive that. I have enough joyful moments about Krista that those are the ones I'm going to hold on to.
Yes, I just don't want that pain right now. I want to keep,
Exactly,
yes, I want the
exactly.
warm memories to
And
stay.
they're few and far between, but every once in a while, one will hit a little bit too close to home, and I'm like, let's not do this one right now.
I was going to let you go, but it's kind of funny. You made me think of sometimes it's kind of like a song or something. It's like sometimes the exact same thing. It's like I can't get it away from me fast enough, and other times I just can't get it to me enough.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. There was a song, oh God, it was an old Whitesnake song that I associated with Krista, because it was like, an angel rising to heaven. I forget the lyrics and I'm not gonna, but I couldn't listen to that song for a long time. And then, 2, 3, 4 years later, when I decided to try listening to I wept. Now I can listen to it. I still feel the sadness, but I still feel the joy at the same time. And on that same note, I was at a concert 4 or 5 years ago, and this was after my brother from another mother, Robbie, had passed away. And it wasn't the band that sang the song, but they did a cover of it. And I was like, oh my God. And I was seeing it and I was smiling and I was remembering Robbie, and then a tear went down my eye and I was at singing at the top of my lungs with a cracked, half crying voice. So it was that mix of joy and pain at the same time.
Well, Tracy, thank you so much for your time and just for being so honest and vulnerable and just the hope and the help and the thoughts that you've given. So just appreciate you coming on today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me aboard.
I think you can tell that Tracy is not used to being able to share freely about his belief in God and how personal it is to him. So I really do appreciate how he opened up and was so honest with us. A couple of things I want to come back to. First is the anger issue. Yes, we have a reason to be angry, but does that give us the right to hold on to that anger, allowing it to become a bitter poison to ourselves and those around us we love? I want you to ask God to help you let go of it. We can't let go of it ourselves, right? In fact, let me just say a quick prayer for you right now. Father, you know our hearts and you know the hurt that comes out as anger. And Lord, for many of us, it is a justifiable anger. But Lord, holding on to that anger doesn't help anyone. It doesn't bring our child back. It doesn't release anything in our lives that we need released. We need peace. We need comfort. We need hope. And so, Lord, anyone listening who is struggling with that anger, Father, I pray that right now they would choose to lay that anger at your feet and exchange it for your peace and all of the things that you have that we each need. I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The other thing I want to come back to is that when you help others, it helps you. It doesn't have to be something big like Tracy has done by coaching others or having a podcast like he and I have. It can be something simple like taking cookies to a neighbor or volunteering somewhere like your local animal shelter or serving food at a homeless shelter. It could even just be sending someone a text, letting them know you're thinking of them and hope they're having a good day. When you help others, it helps you by taking small steps toward a life that is good again with meaning and purpose. I want to ask you to be part of the special GPS Hope community that is helping to keep this podcast ad-free. We have joined Patreon, and that is a place where it allows you to give to this podcast to keep us going, give to the ministry of GPS Hope at $5, $10, or $20 a month. $5 a month is just a seed of hope. You're saying, I just want to do something to keep this going because it's been such a help to me. I don't want to lose it. I want other parents to be able to listen to this podcast. The $10 level is the reflection level. It gives you access to three reflection questions from each podcast episode. It'll help you to dig deeper into your own life, or you can use it for a group that you're in. And then the $20 level is a community level, and that gets you a monthly invitation to come with me on a Zoom meeting, and we'll talk about the episodes, what God did for you. You can ask questions. We'll just spend some time together once a month. All three levels gives you access to things that I post over there that I don't share or put anywhere else. It's just a real special community and a way to say thank you for those who are supporting us financially to keep us going. And like I said, we do not want to have ads on this podcast. I don't want to get to that point. So hop on over there. That you can find it at patreon.com/GPS Hope. And I will put a link to that in the show notes. Also, we will be starting our Advent season. I know Christmas is a very difficult time for us. It can just be outright brutal. And so every Sunday night, I get on live on the YouTube channel and on the GPS Hope Facebook page, and I light the candle on the Advent wreath, and I read that day's entry in the book, Hope for the Future, An Advent Journey for Bereaved Parents. Now, you can get this book. It gives you a little reading to do every day through Christmas just to help you get through the season, to remind us that it is Emmanuel, God with us, and that because of Jesus coming as a baby, and then growing up and dying as a man on the cross for us and resurrecting again. It is because of what he did for us that we can be with our children again. And so to me, it just really helps to get through the Christmas season when I remind myself of that. You can find out more, gpshope.org/adventbook, and join us. Even if you don't have the book, you can join us each Sunday night. It'll be 8 o'clock every night, though, Central Time. Let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Elizabeth Pasqualone was born on November 14th and is forever 28. Melissa Sulikowski Hill was born on November 23rd and is forever 38. Brendan Widener was born on November 28th and is forever 14. Liam Tripp Nugent was born on November 29th and is forever 21. Raylin Tenbruggen Kate was born on November 29th and is forever 1 year old. We celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be a special day and worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced the week of his or her birthday, I am so honored to be able to do that for you. All you have to do is go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out that form, including the pronunciation of your child's name if it gets mispronounced, because I do want to say it correctly for you. Just submit that information, and we will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. And Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen. I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. There is something about being able to make someone else feel good that helps us in our own journey. I would love to hear from you on something that you have done that made you feel a bit better, a way you brightened your own day a bit by brightening someone else's. You can either share it in the comments of the GPS Hope Facebook page where this podcast is posted, or you can comment directly under this episode on our website. This would be at gpshope.org/podcast/324, and I will put a link to that in the show notes, or just go to the gpshope.org website, click on the podcast button and on this podcast, and scroll down and you can share what you've done. I'd love to hear from you. You can have a life that is still worth living, a life of meaning and purpose. And this is not in spite of your child's death, but because of his or her life. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.